David, whether you have a few weeks old puppy or a senior who's seen multiple decades, any dog person like me knows the most valuable thing in the world is spending time with your pet.
Yep.
The farmer's dog makes it easy to keep them healthy, which can give you more quality years with your lovely dog.
Yeah, well, I've heard Farmer's Dog makes and delivers fresh, healthy dog food. And, you know, that's what everyone's looking for. It's recommended by vets, nutritionally balanced. It's made from human-grade ingredients, safe, clean kitchens. All that stuff matters.
Yeah. I mean, you love your dog. Why get the lousy food for your dog? Farmer's Dog is the best. Traditional dry and wet dog food options are extremely processed.
Sometimes
they use
dogs...
much lower quality. Yeah.
you put it in their bowl and they go, what is this kibble? And they knock it away. What is this canned goo?
Oh, yeah. I've had our dog, yeah, look at the bowl and then kind of crank its neck up and look at me. And it was like, really?
They go, really? Why don't you go first? You want a bite of this? Slop?
And it makes that sound.
Here you go, dog.
So Farmer's Dog isn't just higher quality food. They also send the food pre-portioned specifically for your dog based on their unique nutritional needs. It makes it easy to help your dog reach and stay at their ideal weight, David, and which is one of the biggest indicators of a full, healthy life. A fresh diet has been found to have all sorts of benefits, David, from healthier coat and skin, better breath, if you want to kiss your dog, and even easier digestion and smaller and better poops.
Let's look at a clip. It doesn't matter if your dog's young or old, it's always the right time to invest in their health for more happy years with your dog. Get 50% off your first box at farmersdog.com/fly.
Let the Farmer's Dog know we sent you. Use your code or click podcast after you sign up for your first box.
And now for a word from our sponsors at Betterment. Let's talk about hustle culture. You know, the whole rise and grind, go big or go home thing. It's a lifestyle that may not be for you, but one that your money can handle thanks to Betterment. Betterment is the automated investing and savings app that makes your money hustle. How? Their automated technology optimizes your investments again and again. With Betterment, your money is taking ice baths at 5 a.m. while you get your well-deserved rest. Your money downs protein smoothies and automatically reinvests your dividends all before you head out the door. Your money's a workaholic, but you don't have to be because you've got Betterment, the automated investing and savings app that makes your money hustle. Visit Betterment.com to get started. Investing involves risk. Performance is not guaranteed.
Yes, because people back in the day, you forget how many great songs Tom Petty has. And then he starts.
Well, she is an American girl. Now, Dana, welcome to Superfly. This is our third episode, as I'm screaming. And we wanted to thank everyone because they're watching on YouTube, which is new for us. YouTube's doing well. Yeah. And then audio, you can always go to Fly on the Wall and it feeds you into some Superfly back channel way to listen to it. So
people have adjusted to what we look like because they've heard us for a while now. Mm-hmm. And then at first they went, oh my God. But then the brain acclimates. That's just how they look now. And everyone relaxed. To call it a smash would not be an
understatement. I mean, it's like an unbelievable smash hit, but that's fine. The first reaction is usually just gross when they see us. Then they go, they say gross. Right. And then they say sickening. And then they say, you guys look the same.
Yes.
You know, speaking of SNL, Dana, we don't really talk about this show, but a big story is Shane Gillis is going back. Shane, who's a fucking stud, who hilarious, was on Fly on the Wall. If you want to listen to that, that was
very interesting.
About 6 months ago.
He was a little shell-shocked from the trauma of being fired, just being fired from SNL.
Of course.
And he was playing, you know, clubs. He was very sweet, extremely brilliant comedian. And now he plays, you know, I think he did open for Usher. They just didn't show it. But I think he did do 20 minutes at the Super Bowl. And Usher was like, move him along!
He was on one of the poles in the background. Or was he the guy they shot up in the air? See him shoot somebody up in the air?
I don't know. The pageantry, the whole thing. But before we go to that, that Shane going back, being on the show that fired him, that's, I'm going to call it now, and I'm not the first one to coin it, must-see TV.
Yeah, I mean, that's, Norm went back when he got fired. Norm McDonald, who we're all buds with. And exactly. I thought that was interesting. But actually, Shane has blown up more than, I mean, Norm had done great after he left, but it was nothing like going from selling out clubs to selling out big theaters. Like, Shane is all around doing great, big money coming in, and big special, and super cool, and sort of, someone called him the Taylor Swift for men, which is hysterical. Like, all guys like him. You know what I mean? He's like a guy's guy. He's big. He wears a t-shirt. He's just like a regular dude, and he just talks like dudes talk, but it's very clever.
Yeah, us as fellow comedians, you know, when you see Louis C.K. come up or Norm or whatever, or David Spade, people who have a take on stuff you wouldn't think of. And Shane is the latest greatest in that he's just doing it a little different than right before him. It is his moment. And he's sneakily incredibly likable. He has most comedians. I don't know if you have a laugh, but most comedians have a laugh that they do once in a while throughout their set. He just has a really charming one. Even if his bit is kind of edgy, he just wins you over. So I'm going to watch. That's my
Chris Rock has a laugh when he does his act. You're right. He goes, yeah. It can help a joke.
Oh, I think it's your own soundtrack. Richard Pryor would have a kick the whole time. Kiss the man. Cosby had a laugh. Sorry, I didn't mind to bring him up. Jerry Seinfeld and Louis C.K., they'll just do it like every 3 to 4 minutes.
And his monologue, Shane, I mean, I don't even know what you say. I mean, it's so funny. I think I'm happy SNL just said, took the hit and said, yeah, come back. You're too big of a star now. And it's actually sort of in the ether right now of that he's doing well. And that's the kind of host they want. And so fuck it. Yeah. What happened before? Just take it.
Yeah, that's part of Lauren's sort of brilliance as a, you know, SNL. I mean, he is SNL. And you could see part of being on SNL is just reading the room and reading the moment. And, you know, maybe someone in the room at Lauren's office said, I don't know. And oh, please. It's that thing of you comes on the show, you have a mea culpa or whatever else culpas you want, and you have a cup of culpa, and you go to like a really long party.
We'll have it at Orso.
Orso's again?
Oh, yeah. What do you want to, what else do you want to say? Do you want to tell, you have any thoughts about the Super Bowl, even though it's been a week?
I just think if like Taylor Swift, again, really like Taylor Swift and Travis Kelce.
But, start with that.
But I look at the skybox and I look at the glowing people in the skybox. I look at their cocktails. I look at their smiles. I look how young and fresh. They seem like the happiest thing of humanity. What party was invented that I never went to? And I've been to some pretty good parties, but when I look up there, I go, how do you get into that glowing kind of alternative universe skybox where everything is great, where you play Tokyo, a million fans. Oh, Dominato, I don't want it.
Excuse me?
Oh, no. They're like, yeah, Taylor Swift. I'm from Tokyo.
Exactly. Be realistic. That's what they said.
Look, okay, I'll do ahead. This and we can cut it, but it's one of my favorite bits. And I just do a lot of accents, but I used to do all these accents around the world and where they came from. And one of them was in Japan. Where did that guttural accent come from? The sound of a Japanese accent. And that was because it's in a seismic zone. So they'd be sitting around and then an earthquake would hit and they'd be like,
are you shaking your fucking
what's an earthquake?
I didn't know it had an extra part to it. That's great.
So I don't know. I mean, look.
They tracked her plane. Was that funny or they tracked her plane? All the way from Japan make sure she made it. Like it was something fun to do.
She's the Beatles of her generation. She's beautiful. Yeah. Her lipstick is incredible. Never smudges. She's like the supernatural person on the planet. And then the boy toy is 6'5", 270. And they pack on the PDA. Do you know what that means when a couple
packs Yeah, it is a little PDA heavy. I didn't think of that, but yeah.
Yeah, they're making out and swaying her song. I mean, and again, I'm a fan, but it's like, you know, can any relationship, as a casual observer, stay at a 10?
He wins a
Super Bowl. She's super, super. They're swaying and kissing and hugging and grabbing. Everyone's just looking in the wide shot. They're just like, they're like supernatural beings. Where does it go from there? So what I wanted to do is introduce potential red flags for any couple, and that couple, which is our kind of royalty, Travis and Taylor. If he ever says this to you, Taylor, you know what, something? You got a smart mouth on you. That's a tell.
Is that the beginning of trouble?
I think that's a tell. Hey, hear my new song. Sorry, babe, but that lyric is just stupid. That's a tell.
Yeah.
There's trouble in River City.
They turn into a couple from Vanderpump Rules overnight.
Yes. Oh, no. You're going to cry again? When you hear that, that's a red flag. Where were you? No, come on, man. You're gone for 2 hours. Where were you? Red flag. Okay, do you want to jump in here, David?
No, I'm going to get... I was thinking of something that Taylor will say to him.
Well, she would be like, his red flags, equal opportunity. Football, honestly, boring. My last boyfriend, this is Taylor to Travis. My last boyfriend was so cool. He was so cute and hot.
That's it?
Yeah.
How about, when are you going to quit football and start DJing? That's where the money's at.
You want to listen to my new song again? You need a makeover. Your whole look is just, you know, if you love me, you change.
Kelsey says,
Heather's making
notes.
Is it
always red lipstick, even around the house? Do you think when they go to like just some casual, they go to Shakey's for pizza, is there always confetti falling on them and they start kissing?
And
I feel like that
going.
Happens everywhere they go, yeah.
Reality TV has hit a new high on Hulu. From executive producer Jimmy Kimmel, the all-new Hulu original series High Hopes is finally here for your viewing pleasure.
The Hulu original reality series follows two budding entrepreneur brothers and their hilarious half-baked employees at one of the fastest-growing cannabis dispensaries in Hollywood. This workplace comedy showcases the highs and even more highs of the competitive marijuana industry.
More than just co-workers, the owners and bud tenders in High Hopes are one dope family.
You'll fall in love with these quirky characters as they pursue career aspirations, love, and fame, all under a slightly hazy cloud.
All episodes of the new reality series High Hopes are now streaming only on Hulu.
Hey, you know one thing about when you go to the Super Bowl, it reminded me, it's like after the Super Bowl is like after in the old days if you bought a bunch of Coke. It's not worth it. Because once it's over, you're like, oh, I paid all that money and it's over that fast.
The
worst is if someone asks you for your Super Bowl ticket money after the Super Bowl. It's like chasing up drug money after you. Like, I already did my drugs. Now I got to pay for them. I already did them. I'm mad I did it. Now, oh yeah, you owed me $12,000 for that seat at the Super Bowl. You're like,
well, don't
and
you
my
think
team
the,
lost.
The best parties are unexpectedly great, but it's like New Year's Eve and the Super Bowl. Like, we're really partying, man. But you know what? Drake won. $2.5 million, I think, betting on the Chiefs.
I have to say, and this is an uninteresting take.
Thanks
when
for
rich
the warning.
People like Drake bet $1 million, I don't care that much. I don't care that the guy that has 200 million bets $1 million, shows you the ticket, and they don't talk about as much when they lose, but when they win, they go, "What's up?" And you're like, "It didn't change your life." Now, if anyone else did that, it would change their life, but he does it every week, so it's just puffing up that I just don't like. He turns into HR puffing stuff.
Well, here's the deal. Can I finish one time?
Google.
Drake said at his next concert, and I don't know where it is, but I assume he plays big arenas. He's going to find someone somehow in the audience and give them $2.5 million. I predict that show's going to sell out. I would go.
Is that true? That's a great idea. Is that true?
That's what he announced. He just said it in some You too.
Well, let's go.
What do you mean? I've already booked a seat right up front.
Super fly box at the show. We got to get close so we can get the tickets. We got to get way up front. We got to walk down.
Yes, we will. Anyway.
Oh, I have a thought on Usher. This is a hot take.
Okay. My friend Usher, I met him once at an event. It's incredibly nice. Go ahead.
I feel like it was a bit of Joe Coy syndrome. Usher is a great performer. Joe Coy is a funny comedian. But I had heard that three people had passed on that halftime show. You know, your Taylors, your Beyonce. And so people think they used to not leak ahead, like with the Golden Globes. They didn't say who turned it down. Now, if you went to see a movie when you were growing up and it was some actor and they go, and right before you went in, they go, Robert Redford turned this down. And so did Al Pacino. Then you go, oh, so who did they get? This guy? And then you go, what was wrong with it to where they didn't do it? And so that's kind of like seeing the fourth pick. You go, well, I mean, Usher was great and people love him and he did a fine job, but I think there's a little bit of that.
Yeah, and also, it you know, the pressure every year to make the spectacle, you know, just they should have Neil Young next year just with an acoustic guitar, not even moving, just hunched over. Oh man, look at my life. I'm a lot like you. Get off! Fuck you.
Get the fuck
man. Because Usher works so hard, you know, but yeah, we need just Neil Young with an acoustic guitar. Center stage, they'll lose about 60 million people. But for people like my age group, we'd be super happy.
Right. And then he brings out, like, they go crazy because, like, you know, Roy Orbison walks out with him. And they're like, hey.
Who's not even alive.
Featuring.
Roy Orbison.
I couldn't think of anyone older.
Oh, no. Graham Nash could come out and they could sing. Yeah. Our house.
And everyone's like, holy fuck, is that Graham Nash or my grandpa's friend? They wouldn't know who
I don't. Well, yeah, I mean, who would be your pick? I know who your pick was years ago. And by the way, where I was watching the Super Bowl, this guy is going to come on. Everyone's like lukewarm. I go, trust me, this is going to crush. And it was a classic rock and roll.
Tom Petty?
Yep. Tom Petty did the Super Bowl.
I was right?
Crush. Yes, because people back in the day, you forget how many great songs Tom Petty has. And then he starts.
Well,
start
she is an American girl.
I'm free falling. I just substitute some kind of voice. Petty.
I love Tom Petty.
He's
you know,
great.
I went to see U2 at the Sphere.
Oh, yeah. How was that?
Last week. And what are my thoughts?
Overwhelmed.
You know, they show so many things on the wall. All these messages, it's like you might as well be the Manchurian candidate. You're basically getting hypnotized into thinking. You know what I mean? Like brainwashed.
So
they could just flicker things on there because you're staring at it for 2 to 3 hours.
So just for people who are listening and going, Sphere, tell them what it is.
Oh, that's the big circle that holds 18,000 in Vegas where they have concerts and the outside can look like an eyeball. It's all made of LED screens. It's pretty badass. Mm-hmm. And U2 was playing. And when they say, there's so much going on in there, they say, listen, worst case scenario, you get really bored, you watch the band. And the funny thing is, that's what you used to do, is just watch the band. But now there's like, oh, there's something over here. They have a giant shark over here. It looks like it's coming at you while they're playing. And we went and we had pretty good seats. Actually,
can I ask you a question?
Yeah.
Because it's the Sphere and the type of seating, in the old days at a big arena, they'd say, oh, they're in the nosebleeds. Those seats are so high up, they have bloody noses. And the performer is the size of a speck of dust. Is there any bad seat in the Sphere?
Not really, because it's like straight up like a wall. They used to say, I sat in the rafters. I sat
right
in the nosebleeds.
Nosebleeds.
I guess just those two.
The cheap seats.
Oh, the cheap seats, yeah.
The cheap seats. I would go to a Giants baseball game for $1 and just sit way out in left field. Like, you know, couldn't see anything. Well, look, I heard that it's wired for this, but they're afraid to do it. But sometime the next 3 months, they're going to do it. The Sphere has the capability, apparently, I heard, to rise up, go into the low suborbital atmosphere and then make a landing back in Vegas. Did you notice the little secret seat belts?
No, I'm Googling low suborbital.
That's where William Shatner went on the guy who's everything about him looks like a dick. You know, Jeff Bezos, the swoosh looks like a dick on Amazon. His spaceship looks like a dick, and so does his head. It's a trifecta. He's a human penis. I mean, come on. So, well, Shatner went.
The funny thing, his dick looks like a crescent wrench. Crazy.
It doesn't even make sense. I love it.
I had
to learn. Que pasa? Que pasa?
Is that what they say when you walk into sushi?
I think that's what's happening in Spanish. Que pasa? Que pasa? David Ospiro.
I had a difficulty learning German in high school. It's a very tough language. I did it through textbooks and a teacher. I would have rather had Rosetta Stone.
You know, you not being able to learn German is very, very interesting.
But stupid.
But stupid.
Now, Rosetta Stone is the most trusted language learning program. We know this. Available on desktop as an app. Truly immerses you in the language you want to learn.
Yeah, this is planning a trip to Italy, and I think Rosetta Stone is my ticket to speak a better language.
Hey,
I want a pizza pie, but I'll be saying it in Italian. Hey, I want a pizza pie. Sounds like
that's better
English, but it's still that was.
They
Italian.
Say, do you want to sound perfectly fluent, or do you want to sound like Ratatouille?
Honestly, trusted experts for 30 years, David, with millions of users and 25 languages offered. You want to hear some?
Yeah, the
Spanish,
big ones.
Spanish, French, Italiano, Sturman, Korean, Chinese, Chinese,
careful,
Dutch, Arabic, Polish.
Fast language acquisitions, Rosetta Stone.
Should I read that straight?
It immerses you in many ways. No English translation, so you really learn to speak, listen, and you think in the language, Dana. That's the hard part.
No, I do like their process. The intuitive process picks up a language naturally, first with words, then phrases, then sentences. It's designed for long-term retention, David, because we all took Spanish in high school, and all we can say is donde está la biblioteca.
Yeah.
I can find a library, but nothing else. Rosetta Stone is a game changer.
It's like having
David.
A personal trainer for your accent. It's convenient. We said the desktop, the app options, audio companion. You can do it offline. It's amazing value. Lifetime membership has all 25 languages. For any and all trips and language needs in life, that's lifetime access to 25 language courses Rosetta Stone offers for 50% off. That is a steal. I'll say that in English, a steal.
Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, Fly on the Wall listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off.
Visit rosettastone.com/fly. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/fly today. True Green is the easiest and most affordable way to get a beautiful lawn. Now, you're out there, you have acres and acres, hundreds of acres. All you have to do is water and mow, and they'll do the rest. No. Weed control, which you hate, fertilization, aeration.
Can't stand it.
Among others. They'll do all that, so you can do literally anything else. Dana's out there like Yellowstone. You have better things to do in your free time. I know you do. You don't want to focus on lawn care.
True Green is too good to be true. Is what I'm saying, but it is true, right, David? Because you're going to have more time to do things that you want to focus on.
All the hard work, and it gets you to a great lawn. That's what you want. You take care of everything else you got to do in your life. You're very busy. Let True Green take care of this one thing. Get it off your plate.
You know what? I do have some space. I want to put some grass down. I might. I'll call you later, True Green.
Talk to True Green. Where can listeners purchase or learn more? You go to truegreen.com. You do you. Let True Green do your lawn care. Visit truegreen.com to get the best lawn at the best price with the best people, guaranteed.
You can trust True Green to give you the best lawn because they are the official lawn care treatment provider of the PGA Tour.
Whoa.
They offer a satisfaction guaranteed, and they have a verified best price promise, which guarantees you the lowest price with no compromise on quality. That is such a cool thing.
Good job, True Green. You're nailing it. Oh, I want to show you some headlines. Let's show some stories. Let's see. Pull something up. Mm-hmm. There's two. One of them is this one I thought was kind of funny. Transgender woman sued ex-boyfriend over tossed out balls.
What?
So what happened was...
What happened to our culture? What happened to America?
This is a story you wouldn't hear 10 years ago. But, well, what happened was, I can't read it, but what I remember is the person, I'm just going to try to read it.
I can read it. Sued XBF over tossed out balls, but judge says no case.
Right. But the real story, the littler story is like, the person that got them chopped off kept them in the fridge, and the guy, they broke up, and the guy threw them out, and the other person came back to get the balls, and they said, "You didn't leave them here." "Yes, I did. I know they're by the eggs. Actually, they are the eggs." They might have got mixed up with the eggs.
So it's a couple. Someone
we'll
gets their balls chopped off, and then the couple breaks up. Why would the couple, because I'm a romantic, why would they break up over that?
It would cause a rift, possibly, maybe not, but that's probably.
Do you have any other testicle removing articles?
I would hide them in the pickle juice. No one's looking there.
What's your best balls joke in your stand-up? Do you have any? Because I don't know, I'm trying to think. Well, I had one of my. I'll you go ahead and then I'll. My balls joke.
What is it? IHOP. What about that? Attached to the balls. I went to IHOP and I found a pube in my eggs. No, I found a hair in my eggs and it was a pube and it was still attached to the guy's balls that were, and he didn't work there. And that's what I thought was weird. I go, this guy doesn't even work here.
See, that's.
You think it would be. Yeah.
That's good. That's funny and that's smart. This is me in college doing stand up at a tiny club when I was really scared. Popeye from the Popeye cartoons gets kicked in the balls. Oh, skidaloo. What kill every time? Oh, skidaloo.
It's killing here. Heather's doing the air part of her laugh and then it comes into noise. She's just.
I wasn't
wheezing.
Like you. I could never write material. I would go to toy stores. I would just think I couldn't. Well, you can write material. I would go to toy stores and buy props and try to make comedy out of that. But Popeye getting kicked in the balls was a showstopper.
Well, you know, I do like that one. I think I remember you did it for a little bit in the old days, but you took it out. So there's shit my act I hate taking out. It just gets too old. And I'm like, come on, guys.
It's really to amuse myself. It's more, I want more abstraction. I don't want anything that makes any sense. The one that kills the hardest now goes back 50 years. George Bush Sr. going off a high dive, diving board.
Okay.
It kills. Gotta do it. Gonna do it. Gonna do it. Not gonna do it. But I'm walking. That's it. Bedlam.
You go a pepper in a funny walk. Bedlam. Chaos. People are like,
every time I do this one because of the Super Bowl, I'll do it. Christopher Walken sees an amazing magic trick. Wow!
Yeah, you could have been in that Super Bowl commercial.
That's it. Heather could do it. Wow!
Wow. Wow.
There you go. Yeah.
That was pretty good.
That's pretty good. Heather. Heather. Feathered hair.
Here's one more story I'm going to show you. Heather, no, I don't have it. I just read that in the New York City, the cops aren't allowed to have facial hair again. They used to have that. I don't know if Heather knows this. They used to have that forever. The Yankees, New York City cops. And then they let them have beards and mustache. I don't know why they did it. And now the cops can't have that. So the only thing these cops really can do now is get beat up. What? Look at this. I mean, that's, what? I mean, you need a beard to soften the punch. I mean, all they're doing is getting, look at this. Give them something, these poor fucking guys.
Every cop had a mustache in the 60s.
It's cool.
Everybody had a mustache. New video reveals, bring back some traditions. Clean slaven?
Clean shaven.
Mm-hmm.
I don't like this because, first of all, it's so hard to get people to be cops. It's so hard to get them. The cops get beat up in New York more than anywhere. And then you can't fight back. You can't choke anyone. You can't punch anyone. So you can't do anything. So you're either getting beat up, or you're having someone film it and going, it's bad enough to get beat up. Someone's filming going, hey, you fucking pussy, you're losing. It's like, well, I can't fight back. I can't shoot. I can't fight. I just get beat up and then they run away and go, fuck you. And they go, ba-da-ba-ba-da-ba. It's like, that's 20 times a day.
What kind of escape from New York, Chris? Kurt, I can't talk now. What kind of escape from New York, Kurt Russell fucking dystopian movie are we living in? When it's a commonplace thing. What happened today? Oh, I saw some cops get beat up. What happened to the people? They ran away.
And what happened? They don't, and they're not allowed to chase them, and people get, it's just so weird. And you go, when I was a kid, you won't believe this. This is how old I am. We weren't supposed to beat up cops. Now it's like a TikTok challenge, but you know, whatever. What are you going to do?
Now, next Dana, will be, what?
Go ahead. I was going to say, I wanted to see your Super Bowl commercial. I'm jumping around.
Oh, okay. I have a story about me and John Lovitz, if you want to see it. So I've been in 4 Super Bowl commercials. Whoops, how'd that get out?
Jesus Christ.
Well, 2 with Lovitz for American Express back in, and then 1 with Kevin Nealon, Hans and Franz, and then 1 with Mike Myers. So, you know, another good friend of mine that's due to do a Super Bowl commercial with me?
Oh, let's do it. I love Super Bowl commercials.
Yeah.
I love it. Oh, here's your commercial. So this is while you're on SNL, right?
While on SNL and John and I together in an American Express commercial.
We are going to the Super Bowl! You get the tickets, the trip's on me!
Dana and John were psyched. Dana took the American Express car, but John took that other car. John had trouble at the airport.
What? I'm over my limit? Sorry. Did you take American Express?
Of course.
Balderdash.
Yes!
Montage. Funny montage.
We only take the American Express card.
Yep. Yeah,
yes. Funny reaction.
Funny reaction. Funny sunglasses.
Oh, let me at least pay for the ticket.
Hey, John looks kind of cool.
John looks great. Pay attention to the Hawaiian shirts.
Hawaiian shirts.
Finally, John found a place at the Super Bowl.
Look at those guys going in.
The souvenir stand.
You got me this with your
card?
Yeah.
The American Express.
Look at how stupid that shit is. Easily.
I know.
What?
It was John and I came up with a thing during the thing of doing that thing. But the funny part about John and I's relationship, you saw the Hawaiian shirts at the end. They're kind of loose fitting. Mine was sort of yellow or orange. So there was, you know, like big American Express commercial. There was a trailer with, I don't want to exaggerate, I'd say 100 Hawaiian shirts just lined up. So I go in and I grab one and put it on. I'm going out in the bleachers where you see the scene at the end. John goes in the trailer. Like, shark go in the trailer. John goes in the trailer. 2 minutes, 5 minutes, 10 minutes, 20 minutes. What's going on? He finally comes out, doesn't have a Hawaiian shirt on, walks over to me, points and goes, I'd like to wear that one. So I go, John, you're being ridiculous.
What a fucking idiot.
I go, John, there's 100 in there. No, it's a 2-second shot. It's a 2-second shot. So finally, just because the way John and I will tease each other, I said, John, look, let's be honest. We both know I got the best one. This is the best one by far. I got it first. What can I tell you?
I'll be funding the commercial. You won't.
So we got 2 commercials out of American Express.
And that commercial was voted number 1 that year.
It was the first year they had ratings. So maybe that's why.
That ad meter thing, yeah.
Yes.
USA Today. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, that's great.
Knowing how to speak and understand a new language can be an invaluable tool when traveling, meeting new friends, or just even to master a new skill. But it's not always simple when you're bogged down by textbooks and structure classes. That's why so many people trust Rosetta Stone. Rosetta Stone is the most trusted language learning program, available on desktop or as an app. It truly immerses you in the language you want to learn, like Spanish, French, Italian, Chinese, and more. You won't just be studying English translations. The Rosetta Stone intuitive process helps you pick up a language naturally, first with words, then phrases, then sentences. Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/rs10. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/rs10 today.
We want to potentially have people send in, we can cut this out.
We can. Impressions.
Audio or video audio of impressions, and we will give you feedback, and maybe we'll end up having a little competition as people go forward, like, you know, who can do the best, whatever.
We'll give you our professional showbiz opinion, and they can be bad, or we'll just clown on you. You send it in to superfly@audacy.com, AUDACY.com.
Yep.
And Dana, people Twittered me some redneckies. I have one Rackham for you before we start, but it's kind of similar.
No, I love Rackham. Rackham, we almost named this podcast Rackham, which was David's notion. And I just still think it's really funny. Do you think you need to explain for Heather? You understand what Rackham is, right? Everyone knows, right?
Yeah, in pool.
Pool.
When
you're
in pool and you hit the last ball in and you walk away and go, rack 'em. Yeah, that means you won and fuck you and
it's
let's play again.
The ultimate badass move in pool. Yeah. So you have a joke.
I can't think of a good joke. I thought of one this weekend because it's the dumbest one. I go,
doesn't matter. As long as you say rack 'em, it's going to
okay,
win.
Ready?
Yes.
You know, I don't want to say Dana's tight with money, but I asked my pet bird what he thought of Dana, and he said, cheap, cheap, rack 'em. it shouldn't be a joke from 25 years ago, but it's good in real life present jokes, but I can't think of one.
You had two.
Only if I was a comedian.
Cheap, cheap, rack 'em. You had a good rhythm. Yeah. You had a catchphrase with cheap, cheap. And then you had Rackham.
Cheap's funny because the bird's telling you that he's cheap. Okay. And then Rackham, I ran right over it with Rackham. But you can stall. But let's get into Redneckie.
I just want to explain to people, this is just my take on a really bad comedian. And it's also just a story of someone who is indomitable, like always thinks of the positive.
Google.
He announces his name before every joke. I'm Redneckie, the redneck comedian. I ask my
every
daddy,
joke.
Every joke. Sorry.
Okay.
I'm Redneckie, the redneck comedian. I asked my daddy what's for dinner. He said shit on a shingle. I said this day keeps getting better and better. Come and get some. I'm Redneckie, the redneck comedian. I met my sister only because mama turned me down. Come and get some. So it was an incest.
I do like that. They're very economical, though. You don't wait too long.
No, and it's just like, I went to the doctor. He said he had to amputate my right foot. I said, can I keep my left foot? He said, sure thing. I said, come and get some.
What the? Why don't I get that one?
Well, because he's so positive, he just says, come and get some. He thinks, great. I'm Redneckie, the redneck comedian. The doctor said he had to remove my right foot. I said, can I keep my left foot? He said, sure thing. I said, come and get some.
I thought the first two were more Redneckie. Yeah, we like it, though. We laughed at it.
Well, here's one that no one ever gets because it's too dry. I'm Redneckie, the redneck comedian. I just got back from Ouzensaw, Minnesota. Everyone said, how are the folks doing in Ouzensaw? I said, dabbing cotton. Come and get some.
Listen, I'm going to come and get some. I'm not saying I'm not. I'm just saying.
Heather got it.
Do you get it?
No, I like for dabbing cotton.
She just likes to hear dabbing cotton. And I just like to hear come and get some.
I just got back from Ouzensaw. Oozing Sore is the
oozing
name of the
sore.
That,
I didn't get to announce it.
I got back from Oozing Sore, okay. Mississippi. How the folks doing down there? Dabbing cotton. Come on, get some.
Oh, yeah. How about spraying Bactine? Rackham.
Let me think of a Rackham joke.
Rackham's tough. By the way, I posted an Instagram story this weekend about a fake Super Bowl party I had with 18 people, but it was like the most bleakest party. So I just, did I tell you this?
No.
Oh, I put a picture of like a cup of salsa and a bag of peanuts and then one Tito's bottle. And I said, let's rage or something. And then people put more like, come and get some. See that?
Okay. I like that one.
Infested. That's not the word. It's infiltrated my stories.
How about this?
So people are listening to this dog shit podcast.
How about this? This guy challenged me to a fight. I went full Paul Newman and Butch Cassidy and Sundance Kid. Come and rack 'em.
No, we can't have a collab yet.
Come and rack 'em. No.
Rack
'em. Come on, man. Come and rack 'em.
They are kind of similar, but I like come and get some better, but rack 'em needs to be in the right time and place is a real good one. Even if it's thrown away. But dude, I have one. Here's a joke. So in a related story, Maestro's coming in. God damn. Maestro is an Oscar nominated movie Bradley Cooper's in. And I'm sure it's a perfect quality, well done movie, but it looks a little boring. Honestly, I couldn't get through the poster. Honestly, I fell asleep during the billboard. There we go. I said it like that. That's a good chop right there. Pop, 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 pop.
No, just in case Bradley, he's brilliant in the movie. It's quite amazing. The Holdovers, extraordinary.
The one we had him on, Giamatti.
Paul Giamatti is, and the whole movie is just puddle of tears, grabs you like a 70s movie. Alexander Payne, I think, did Sideways.
You say his name wrong. His name is pronounced Giamaestro. Did you see the movie Bobby? That was when I saw Margot Robbie first promoting it. They go, tell us about your movie. She goes, it's called Bobby, because that's how everyone from Australians does it. Bobby.
At Bobby, shrimp on the Bobby. Hey, mate.
Bobby.
All right, what do we do now? Do we end?
That's it. It's a fucking wrap, dude.
It's a wrap.
You guys, thanks for tuning in. Oh, we can read these. These are emails. Superfly submissions. Okay, read them. Okay. Read one of these as Red Rednecky.
I went shopping. This is Red Rednecky, the redneck comedian. I went shopping at Walmart for a three-piece suit and came back with three pieces of fruit. Come on, get some.
Bomb.
Well, it sounds funny, Johnny. You're getting close. We're going to work on these
It sounds
week.
Funny because the way you're saying it and when you end it, it doesn't almost matter what the middle part is.
I'm Red Rednecky, the redneck comedian. My mom always told me, you better get mad before it's too late. Said, what do you mean? She said, never mind. It's already too late. Come on, get home. It's just a little few too many words, but you're getting close, Johnny.
This is one guy submitting all this horse shit?
Oh, here's one from Raven. Raven?
Robbie.
Oh, this is a Johnny. Oh, sorry, officer. I didn't know I was swerving. I had three Twizzly Willy Wonkas at the Drunken Monks. Not bad.
Oh, this is Johnny Carson.
Yeah. Three Twizzly Willy Wonkas at the Drunken Monk.
You know what? I think the only problem with that
would be singular. Go ahead.
I think it should be three Twizzly Whizzlies because it should be two and two.
Yeah.
Two words and two words.
Three Twizzly Whizzlies at the Drunken Monkey. Or I don't know.
These are viewer submissions. Okay, I didn't know we had any.
These are great. I'm Red Rednecky, the redneck comedian. What's the difference between an alley cat and a pole cat? About $20. Come on, get some.
Oh, like a stripper?
That's
I like
good.
That.
A pole cat would be the stripper.
It's a little dark, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Hey, Frank.
It's a cat stripper?
Mama said, get you a woman that appreciates pest control. On a good day, that's dinner and a show. Come on, get some. These are pretty good.
What about, okay, if you have any good of those or any good rack'em, send them in. And we'll wrap up now. Thanks for watching. And also thanks for listening. Mm-hmm. And the studio's almost ready, so we're going to be in here.
Rack 'em.
Yeah. Bye-bye. This has been a presentation of Odyssey. Superfly is executive produced by Dana Carvey and David Spade. Charlie Finan of Brillstein Entertainment, Jenna Weiss-Berman of Odyssey, Heather Santoro, and Greg Holtzman. Hope you liked it. Mm-hmm.